have been moving forward and through the Forged series in the last few weeks. Today is going to be the last message in this series. And I want to start today by giving you my bottom line for this entire series. We've been talking about the importance of integrity, character, and holiness in the lives of the men and women of God. If you're a follower of Christ, integrity and character are extremely important. We've been talking about the reasons for those. If you've not watched the first three messages in this series, I want to encourage you to go back and watch those, because all of these build toward this, you know, one big picture. And so one of the messages without the other ones is kind of lacking. So I want to encourage you to go back and watch those other messages. But today I want to give you my bottom line. It's been the bottom line for this entire series. And the bottom line has been this: outside of salvation, our most prized possession is our integrity. Outside of salvation, our most prized possession is our integrity. So last week I began by asking a question, and I want to continue asking that question today. We kind of answered it a little bit, but I want to continue with that today. And the question was this: is it possible to build a life that reflects constant and strengthening character and integrity? And so we began talking about that question last week. The answer is yes, it is possible, but it's very intentional. That our lives are not just going to automatically become full of character and full of integrity and holiness, that it's very intentional in what we do. And so as we've been moving through this series, we've been talking about how that works. We'll talk just a little short review here as we begin, but I want to give you my passage too. We've been keying in on one scripture from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, that gives us an amazing principle that we can live our lives by. And this principle is this: Proverbs 11, verse 3, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." Again, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. So, as you know, if you've been watching this series, I called this series the Forged series because of a thought that I had, that our lives are forged in the furnace of our integrity or in our lack of it. And the way our lives are forged in such a way that if we're living a life of integrity, character, and holiness, that is going to like solidify our life, and we'll go down one certain path for our life. But if we're living lives that lack character, that lack integrity and holiness, it's going to take us in a completely different direction. It's going to lead us away from the plans and purposes of God. And so we want to live these lives of character and integrity. And we've been really keying in on all of the important issues involved in that. And so today, before I get to today, as far as review, we talked about the fact that integrity is imperative, that it's not just something that we can maybe do when we want to and not do when we don't want to, but integrity is imperative. It's what we have been called to do if we're going to live the life of Christ. If we're going to call ourselves a follower of Christ, we have to live a life of integrity, character, and holiness. But then we also talked along the way about the fact that oftentimes that's difficult, that we're trying to live the right lives, we're trying to do the right stuff, but at the same time, we stumble, we fall down, we sin against God, all sorts of things come up, we get blasted, and it knocks us off our faith and our hope. We've talked about all these things along the way, and so we also talked about the fact that integrity is also a process, that to live a life of integrity doesn't mean that you're living a life that's perfect, but it does mean that you're living a life that is consistent and is consistently moving in the direction that God has. It's consistently choosing to live the life that God wants us to live. And when we fall down, when we sin, when we mess up, we get back up, we repent, we turn to God. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about repentance again today. We repent, we turn to God, and we get back on that path again. And that is what the integrity of life is really about. It's a consistent choosing to live a life of character. Not perfection, but a consistent choice to live a life of character. So last week we began talking about the fact that integrity is intentional, that we don't just fall into a life of character. That Jeremiah talked about, we mentioned in the series previously, that in Jeremiah he says that the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. And so our heart, although the world will tell us to follow our heart, we know that from the writings of the scripture that if we follow our heart, ultimately that's going to lead us away from the things of God. And so we have to have something else. So we were talking about the fact that integrity is intentional. We have to choose to live a life of integrity, and we have to do certain things. Some of those things we talked about was we have to embrace the place of integrity. What is that about? It's about being in the place that God has designed for us to be, to help us, encourage us in our faith, keep us accountable, and that place is in the church. But we also talked about embracing the face of integrity, which means that just coming to church and being part of a big Sunday morning service is not really what we've been fully called to do. That's important. It's extremely important that we are in church, but we also have to embrace the face of integrity, which was that we're not just embracing the place where we're part of a big church service, but we're embracing the face of integrity, which means that we're face to face with people and we have an accountability. We have people in our lives that can speak into our lives, and we have they can say anything, they can challenge us, they can knock us when we're failing and falling and encourage us to get back on the right path. And we have to open ourselves up to that kind of accountability, because accountability only works if we open ourselves up to it. And then we talked about embracing the chase of integrity, which means that we don't want to just have other people that are accountability for us, but we need to make ourselves available to be accountability for other people so that we can not only be encouraged, challenged, held accountable ourselves, but that we can also offer ourselves and be in a position to help others as well. And that's really what the church has been called to be. And so integrity is intentional. And I want to finish the series today by continuing with that thought that integrity is intentional. There's some intentional things that we need to do. And one of those things is that we need to understand that prayer produces the path of integrity. We have to be intentional about our prayer because prayer produces the path of integrity. I want to take a look today at Psalm 32, verses 5 to 8. And it says this, it says, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." Interlude. "Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory." Interlude. "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and will watch over you." So previously in this series, we talked about the importance of repentance, but I just want to hit on this briefly on a way to make a bigger point today. David wrote this psalm, King David, and it's believed by many scholars that David wrote this psalm in response to his failure when he sinned with Bathsheba. And you remember we talked previously in the series as well about how David, he sinned with Bathsheba, he got her pregnant, which was two horrible things that he did. He tried to cover it up, and ultimately in his cover-up, he ends up having Bathsheba's husband murdered, killed essentially. And David really, really, really blew it. And God sends a prophet to David and says, "Hey, you really blew it." David gets it, and David turns to God in repentance. And so we talked about that previously in this series. But I want to point out some other things about it too. But in this passage here, it says, David says, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and I stopped trying to hide my guilt." You know, this is a really important thing. When we have stumbled and fallen down and sinned against God, we need to not hide it. You know, part of the problem is that we don't, and we talked about this previously in the sermon series as well, we want to try to hide our sins. We want to try to hide our failures instead of just getting them out there, being accountable for it, repenting before God, confessing it to people in our life and having them pray with us and help us and encourage us. We try to hide it. And David says, "I tried to hide my sin from God," but it says this, it says that it, when I tried to hide that, that my body was broken, that it was heavy on my bones. And if you read the whole of Psalm 32, it's kind of graphic in what he says about what his life is like. My life is being sucked out of me because I'm trying to hide this sin. My guilt is destroying me. And so David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he was trying to hide it from God. He was trying to hide it from people, but ultimately God calls him out through the prophet. And he says, "Finally, I confessed my sins and I stopped trying to hide my guilt." And he says, "I'll confess my rebellion to the Lord and you forgave me." This is the good news about God, is that when we fail, God knows we're going to fail. He knows we're going to sin. He knows we're imperfect. But here we are on this path that we're trying to live a life of integrity, character, and holiness. So when when we sin, when we fail, what do? Do we hide it like David did? Well, no, because that will weigh down on us. The guilt will begin to build in us. It affects us physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It affects us in every way. And so David says, instead of trying to hide it, I just confessed it. And the good news is that God forgave me. And I just want to tell you today, this isn't really even really a part of my notes, but I want to encourage you today. If you have sinned and you've fallen away from God, if you've backslidden away from God, and you're being eaten up by that guilt and that condemnation, that conviction, condemnation from the enemy, the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you today, if you will meet God at the place of repentance, if you will just turn back to him and say, God, I'm not going to hide it. I sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me. You will be met with the forgiveness and the embrace of God. And so if you're in that place today, I just want to take a moment to encourage you. Just repent. Maybe even just stop this video right now for just a moment and say, God, you know what? What Pastor Tom is saying is true, and I've sinned against you, and I just ask you to forgive me. And just receive that forgiveness today and turn away from that sin. You know, when we look at the importance of repentance, we often just kind of we think that repentance is just about the confession part of it. And the confession part is not really all of repentance. It's an important part. Jesus said, the word of God says, confess your sins and God will be faithful and just to forgive you your sins. It says elsewhere, confess your sins one to another so that you can find healing in your life. So confession is important. But that second piece of repentance is not that we just confess that we did wrong, but that we turn away from that sin. And I know you're going, man, Tom, you already covered this a couple messages ago. I know I already covered this, but it's really leading up to something else today that I want to share with you. But we need to come to God. Remember what I was trying to say to you. Prayer produces the path of integrity. Prayer produces the path of integrity. And so we need to come to God in prayer consistently, coming to him in repentance for the things that we have failed and we have sinned in. But we not only need to come and confess those things, but we need to turn away from them. And this is where my message kind of takes off from what I talked about previously, is that when we confess, we talk about repentance. We often talk about the confession. We often talk about turning away, but we also, it's important that we have to understand we have something to turn to something. While we're turning away from our sin, what is it that we turn to? And so again, prayer is key to understanding what it is that we need to turn to. So there's a couple other things that happen in here. In this passage that I read to you today in Psalm 32, verses 5 to 8, David turns to God in repentance, but he goes beyond repentance. And that's the things that I really want to point out today, is that he goes beyond repentance and he says, he brings his request. And so we not only need to come to God in prayer for repentance, but we also need to come to God in prayer and we bring our requests before him. So when you go and you look at that passage in Psalm 32 again, he says this in the verse 6, he says, therefore let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble, and you surround me with songs of victory. So what did David do there? He goes on beyond repentance, and he begins to bring his request to God. God, I've repented, and I'm turning away from my sin, but I pray that you would lead me down a path that would not let me come into the sin again. I pray that you would lead me down a path that would lead me into your blessing, because you are my hiding place. You are my refuge. You are my safe place. You are the one that I need. And so I pray that you, not only am I turning away from my sin and ask you to forgive me, but I'm asking you, I'm requesting before you that you will lead me down a path that will cause me not to fall back into the floodwaters of judgment. When you look in the New Testament, we see kind of a parallel thought when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. Remember again, prayer produces the path of integrity. So Jesus, the disciples were asking Jesus to teach them to pray. And so when Jesus is modeling what prayer is supposed to be, you see this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. He says that we need to pray. When we pray, we should pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive others, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so Jesus really is reflecting the same principle that we see David reflecting in Psalm chapter 32, is that it's not only possible for us to pray a prayer of request that God would lead us in the right path, but it is the way that Jesus taught us to pray. He says, I want you to pray, deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation. And so we not only pray the prayer of repentance, but we pray the prayer of request. We say, God, now that I've turned away from my sin, please lead me in the path that's going to lead me to your blessing. It's going to lead me to your purpose, lead me to your plan, and not lead me back to the place where I will be caught in the flood waters of judgment. And so we come to God with the prayer of request. So it's not enough to turn away from sin and hope that we do good. And I want you to know that God's desire is not, he's not going to say, all right, you terrible sinner, you better repent and then you better run out there and figure out how to do this thing on your own and not do it again. But God says, I want you not only to pray and I will forgive you, I'll meet you at the place of forgiveness, but I want you to also pray and ask me to lead you along the right path. And so it's not only a prayer of repentance, but it's a prayer of request. Remember again, prayer produces the path of integrity. So we have repentance and we have request. But here's the one that I really like. There's a third one, a prayer that we need to be connected with God. You know, sometimes when we pray, we are praying and speaking to God, but that we really mess ourselves up when we think prayer is just about talking to God. Because prayer is not a one-way communication. Prayer is a two-way conversation. I want to say that again. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. It's a two-way communication. It's a two-way conversation. And so we're not only praying to God and speaking to God, but we have to give God the opportunity to speak back to us. And this is the awesome part about this, is that we turn to God in repentance. We bring our request to him in prayer, and then we receive revelation. So there is repentance, there is request, and there is revelation. And so when we come to God in repentance and when we bring our request, God is going to bring revelation back to us. And so when you look there at verse 8, you'll notice that there's a shift in who the speaker is. If you read Psalm 32, David is talking about what's going on in his life. And David says, I was the one that sinned and I confessed and I repented and I brought my request before God. But there in verse 8, there's a shift in who is speaking, and it's no longer David speaking, but God steps right into, and this is such an amazing thing. David is sitting here writing this psalm, and he's writing out what God is doing in his life, and all of a sudden, God steps right into David's writing, and he begins to speak back to David. So no longer is it just David's repentance and David's request and his communication towards God, but God is bringing a conversation back to him. And God says to David, he says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life, and I will advise you. I will watch over you. And so when God begins to take this from a one-way conversation to a two-way conversation, he says, I hear your prayer, David. I hear your prayer of repentance, and I forgive you. I hear your prayer of request, and I am going to answer you, and I will guide you. I will lead you along the path for your life. I will advise you. I will show you the way that you need to go in your life so that you can live the victorious life of integrity, the victorious life of character, the victorious life of holiness. Too many times in our life, we're trying to stumble along and we're trying to follow the rules and follow the regulations, and we read the verses and we commit to God, I'll never fail you again, and we find ourselves falling down on our face again. But we have to understand that God has not designed for us to try to do it on our own. We are to pray to God, bring our repentance, our request, and then when we hear God, we receive the revelation. And the revelation is not just, you know, here in verse 8, God responds to David by saying, I'll guide you, I'll lead you. But there's a second part of this revelation, is that God really did lead him. God really did guide him. God really did show David the way that he was supposed to go. And so there was a revelation, not only that God would be there, that God was present, but God began to speak to David and began to lead him down the path that he needed to go. And so God will lead you down that same path. But we have to understand You know, I didn't read verse 9 of Psalm 32. I encourage you to go read verse 9 of that passage as well. But it says, don't be like a mule. Don't be like a horse, a stubborn mule that's got, they got to put a bit in its mouth and drag it where it needs to go. Don't be that way. But instead, be those that repent, bring your request, get the revelation back from God, and then we respond in obedience. We respond in obedience to where God is leading us. Don't be like the stubborn mule trying to figure it out on your own, but just follow the revelation that God is pouring into your life, and he will lead you down the path of integrity, character, and holiness. He will lead you down the path of purpose in his plan for your life. And so prayer produces the path of integrity, the prayer of repentance, the prayer of request, and the prayer of receiving back from God the revelation. And so we need 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I know that probably many times you may have heard that verse is saying pray without ceasing, and that's amazing, that's great. But I like the way that the New Living Translation translates 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when it says this: never stop praying. Never stop praying. Pray those prayers of repentance. Pray those prayers of request. Receive the revelation back from God and respond in obedience. And you will become a man. You will become a woman of integrity, character, holiness. But not only that, but God will lead you and guide you. Remember in our scripture today, there's this amazing connection here as I'm wrapping up today. The integrity of the upright will guide them. But Jesus also says that he will be our guide as well. And so Jesus, God guides us, leads us and makes us men and women of integrity, and our integrity leads us on the path and takes us down the path that we need to go. And then our lives become forged in the furnace of our integrity and character. And all of that is flowing from our prayer, and all of that is flowing from God's revelation that's leading us down the path that we need to go. And so I want to encourage you to become a man or woman of prayer. A lot of times when we think, wow, you know, if I'm going to be, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. You know, you see people that pray and they're really amazing, pray these really amazing prayers. You don't have to pray amazing prayers. You just have to pray. Pray prayers of repentance. Pray prayers of request. Pray your prayers and then receive the revelation. Listen to God. He will speak to you. Well, I don't know. How do I do it? And then we need to never stop praying. Well, how can I never stop? How am I never stop praying? I'm supposed to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not really what it means. The way I pray without ceasing, the way I never stop praying is that I live my life in a posture of prayer. That no matter what I'm doing, I'm always paying attention to that nudge of the Holy Spirit. When God brings a scripture to my mind, when the Holy Spirit is leading me to speak to somebody, when I'm about to make a decision and I get a check in my spirit that says that's not the right decision, or I get a piece that says that is the right decision, you put yourself in a posture of prayer. Not that you're praying all the time, but you're open and you're listening and you're paying attention, that even if you're at work or even if you're hanging out with the family watching a TV program, you are in a position where if God is willing to speak to you, you're willing to stop what you're doing and listen and pay attention to what he's saying. And if you will do that, he will bring revelation to your life, and it will lead you down the path of integrity, character, holiness. It will lead you down the path of purpose, God's plan and his vision for your life, and it is the best place to be. So prayer produces the path of integrity. If you will become a man or woman of prayer, integrity, character, and holiness will begin to manifest in your life, because the Holy Spirit is going to use the Word of God to lead you down that path, and you will never regret it. Sometimes you're going to have to make choices that are simple choices but tough consequences, but at the end of those choices, there will always be the blessing of God. And that's an amazing place to be. That's what God wants you to be. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. Remember this again. Prayer produces the path of integrity. If you will become a man and woman of prayer, God is going to lead you down the path of integrity. Pray the prayers of repentance. Pray the prayers of request. And then receive the revelation and respond in obedience. And God is going to bless you in your life. He's going to make you a holy man or a holy woman of God. And that's where we want to be. So, hey, thank you again for joining me today. I appreciate it. I say this all the time. I'm not just trying to repeat myself for the sake of it. But I really do appreciate when you listen on the podcast, or maybe when you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, somewhere. You don't have to watch these, but you are. I hope that they're meaningful to your life. I hope that they're helping you. And I appreciate it. If you like what you're hearing, please drop a comment in the box. Even if it's just say, hey, I was here. I appreciate hearing from you. If you like what I'm saying, if you don't like what I'm saying, it doesn't really matter. I just like hearing from you. You don't have to agree with me on everything, but let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. I'd love to know that you are at least here. Please click the like, subscribe, share buttons. Help us get the word out. We appreciate that too. It really helps us to kind of expand and advance the word that God has given us to bring to this world. And so we appreciate your help with that. The more that we share these messages, the more people get to see them. And so that's an amazing thing. So thank you for hitting the like button, the subscribe button, the share button as well. Drop us a comment. Let me pray for you today. Father, thank you for those that are listening on the podcast, those that are watching on YouTube or Facebook or on social media somewhere. I just pray you bless them. Lord, I know that there are people out there that may be struggling. They want to be men and women of integrity, but they're struggling and struggling with their sin. They're struggling with their failures. They're struggling with their shortcomings. I just pray right now, Father, that you would touch them, that you would meet them at the place of forgiveness. God, that you would just stir up in them the prayers of repentance, the prayers of request. God, and I just pray that you would continue to be the God that answers prayer, and you would bring that revelation, and that you would revolutionize their lives, everyone that's listening and watching today. And I thank you for doing that. God, I pray you would, everyone watching, pray that you're listening, bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them this week. And I thank you for that. We give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you, and appreciate you being here again today at The Refuge.